Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we've just read your word this morning, we ask that you'll open our minds, that we'll understand. Yes, Lord, and that your spirit will work within us to change us as we also hear these words being proclaimed to us this morning. Lord, we ask help all around as we are such frail people. And Lord, some of these things we will be saying today is so strange in our community. Lord, help us to truly understand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, marriage. What is marriage? Today, for a lot of people, marriage is nothing. I can remember as a young man, that's probably 40 years, 50 years ago, whatever, doesn't matter. Their people moved in next to us, and they were not married. And as young Christian people, my mom and dad said, "Oh, such and such is common law wife or common law husband." Today, of course, we talk about partnerships. 40 years ago, it was, as we perceived in our community, the minority. These days, it appears as if marriage is in the minority. We can take it one step further, of course. Last week in America, they have approved gay marriage across all the states of America. We see today same-sex relationships popping up all over the show, and how do they demand for their relationships to be called marriages? We also, of course, see that a lot of people object to Christians saying, "Hang on a second, marriage is between husband and wife. Therefore, their relationship should not be called marriages." And so all of society is in uproar. It's my right to have a gay marriage, as it is your right to have a heterosexual marriage. Confusion rules in the world. But confusion does not rule for God. And neither does confusion, nor should confusion rule in the church. And hopefully today, as we unpack this chapter in Scripture with the assistance of some other Scriptures, we will all come to a very clear biblical understanding of what marriage is. So, today, in the passage that we've read, we want to consider the third creation ordinance, marriage. First one was that God created all of us, okay, and instituted the Lord's Day, or the Sabbath. The second one is that man had a purpose and had to work. And today the third one is the creation ordinance of marriage. The section this morning that we've read starts off with a term that God saw that it was not good for man to be alone. God saw that it was not good for man to be alone. This is striking. Because the previous passages we've read is that God said everything's good. This is the first instance that we read that God says it is not good. Does that mean God failed? Does that mean, of course, that God made a mistake by not making Eve for Adam? Does it mean that God was caught out by surprise? Not at all. Because everything that God has made was good. But God saw Adam for what Adam was. He was a man. And God saw what Adam needed. Not because God forgot to make him a helper, but in God's providence and in God's timing, God decided to make Eve later in the creation history. Let's unpack it. Adam wasn't lonely. Adam didn't feel lonely. He didn't walk in the park and say, "Oh, I need a mate." Not at all. Because, after all, who walked with Adam in the Garden of Eden? The Lord God did. Adam did not know that he was lonely because all his needs and wants were fulfilled by the Lord. But God knew that he designed Adam for human companionship. God knew that he made Adam to have companionship of a woman. God knew he made Adam to have a relationship of marriage. It was not good for man to be alone. That is why to be single and be content with that is a gift from God. As Paul said, it's good not to be married. Okay. If you can be content with that. This history is written for our benefit, of course. God knew that he would create Eve. God knew when he was going to create Eve. And God knew the purpose he was going to create Eve for. He had this in mind before the foundation of the earth. So why did God make Eve right at the end? Because God first wanted to prepare Adam for his companion. God made him, made Eve only once. He has named all his animals after he's lived up to his second creation ordinance. But naming the animals helped Adam to see that there's no one good enough in creation for him. It helped him to appreciate male and female. As he was teaching the lion and the naming the lion and the lioness, the bull and the cow, the stag and the doe, the ram and the ewe, as he was naming them, he saw the creation order that the Lord has made, male and female. Yes, Adam couldn't understand them. He couldn't talk to them. He couldn't have communication with them. And it appeared at this stage as if the animal kingdom was superior to the human race. They were had fellowship, they had companionship, the animals, and to some extent could communicate, as we all know. But Adam, he was alone. There was no one suited for him. Then the Lord said, "Let me create Eve." He did this by causing Adam to fall asleep. Now, first anesthetic. Perfect anesthetic. Okay. And the Lord removed from Adam a rib, or as the Hebrew term says, a piece of his side. And he filled it with flesh and he made Eve. That is why the word woman means taken from man. So if I'm a man and you're a woman, it is a term coined in the Garden of Eden for that part of God's creation that was created from man. Matthew Henry has a wonderful way of actually explaining this. He said, "The woman was not made out of a man's head to rule him. Neither was she created from his feet to be trampled by him. Neither his arm to be his slave, but out of his side to be equal to him. Under his arm to be protected by him. And close to his heart to be loved by him." Isn't it worth writing that to all of us as males and put it somewhere we can read it every day? Are we looking after our wives in the same way? Do we see our need to love her, protect her, care for her, provide for her? Is that reflected in our marriages, men? Is that evident in the way that we speak to our wives? Is it evident in the way that we care for them? Is it evident in the way that we go around with them? We might imagine that the Lord enjoyed making Eve. Of course he did. The Lord found great joy in his creation and great satisfaction in everything he has made. Why will it be different with Eve? But Adam and Eve was the climax of God's work. Everything he has built up to this point in the creation order. Imagine Eve, perfect, without sin, first woman, untainted by sin in the Garden of Eden. Truly the first Miss World of this creation. But the Lord didn't only make her, the Lord also brought her to the man. This is the first marriage ceremony in the Bible, the first garden wedding that we read of. Most of us have been at weddings and we see how the father brings the bride in through the aisle, introduce him to her husband, etc., hand over his daughter to the husband, and they get married. God did it first. He actually brought this wife and presented his bride to Adam. Adam had not expected to see anything like this. He's been through all the creation, he named all the animals, and he could not find a helper. And when he woke from the sleep, what did God do? He presented him his helper. I can only imagine how Adam must have felt, the Lord providing for him in this way. Gentlemen, brothers, do we see our wives as the daughters of God, presented by God himself for us? Do we treat our wives as the daughters of God, presented by God to us? It's also fascinating that these were the first recorded words of man in Scripture. Verse 23, "This now is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." The first recorded words. By this the Lord instituted marriage. In the same way as the Lord made the lion and the lioness, the bull and the cow, the stag and the doe, so the Lord made man and woman to live together. These are patterns of the created world. After all, how can we be fruitful and fill the earth if husband and wife, man and woman, don't come together? There are a lot of people in our society today who are pushing for same-sex marriages, etc. But, as someone has said, God created Adam and Eve. God did not create Adam and Steve. God created male and female. God created them and created them to be husband and wife. He put them together as husband and wife for God's glory, for the fulfillment of his creation, and for our good. This is, after all, the pattern of all creation. This is the pattern of humanity. And the Lord does not want us to change that. If there's any doubt in your mind as to this, read Romans 1 to see the source, the origin, the consequences of bending and changing this creation ordinance. This brings us to two basic principles that we want to discuss. First of all, Eve was created as a companion for Adam. The first purpose is companionship. Yes, they were supposed to have children. God wanted them to be fruitful and fill the earth. He wanted them to multiply. But the first purpose of marriage was companionship. Adam valued Eve for who she was, a companion. Before they had any children, Adam and Eve lived together as husband and wife. They did not get married because they had children. No, they lived together as husband and wife and afterwards had children. They enjoyed the primary reason for marriage, which is companionship and friendship. Many young people today think that marriage is just being head over heels in love, and all they want to see is roses and excitement and the lust that goes with it. And this is misconstrued from video clips that they watch on YouTube, MTV, internet, etc., etc. That is not the way the Lord has ordained it or thought of it. Marriage is about love, but the love of romance, mutual attraction, it's importantly the love of friendship of a husband and a wife enjoying each other's company. Adam recognized Eve as a true companion. Here was another person, another human being he could relate with, another person he could have companionship with, another person he could have friendship with. Young people, that's what you should look for in a spouse. Just glance back at your grandma and grandpa. After 60 years of married life, loving each other more than they did the day they got married. How is this possible? Companionship, friendship, relationships. Someone once said that marriage is a work of art. What they meant is that marriage is something we create, something that we work at, something like a beautiful garden that we have to prune, that we have to water and that we have to fertilize. The more we work it, the more beautiful the garden will be. Are we working at our marriages? Are we spending time together? Are we talking? Do we have companionship? Are our spouses our best friends? Are we developing our relationships, deepening our companionship? Or do we just let it go out of convenience? Secondly, Eve was made to compliment Adam. And it's not compliment with an eye. It's not giving Adam compliments. It is compliment, meaning she is Adam's other half. That's what the Lord meant when he said he would make a helper suitable for Adam. Literally, the word means corresponding to. God gave, created Eve to fit in with Adam, to help him, to assist him, to be there for him. Both Adam and Eve were created in the image of God. Both are equal before the Lord, the same in status, but they were also saved in the same way through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But although they have the same status, they have different roles or functions. For a while, sociologists, feminists, etc., tried to minimize the role of the man, and they're still trying to do that today. For a long time now, feminists and socialists said, whatever a boy can do, a girl can do better. But we know that it's not true. We know, brothers and sisters, from creation, that a woman cannot do everything a man can do, and vice versa. The Lord has made us all unique for our purpose. Remember the book of that John Gray wrote, Men are from Mars, a woman from Venus, or the other way around. Everybody laughed about it. But isn't it so fundamentally true? A man is not a woman, and a woman is not a man. We notice also that God created Adam first. In the marriage relationship, God appoints Adam as the head of his wife. This was illustrated immediately after they met when Adam named his wife. In the Bible, naming somebody is a sign of authority. God gave him a position of leadership and responsibility in the home. It's important that we who are husbands need to understand that, to take up our responsibility seriously, to guide our family with a godly example, to lead them, to give them biblical instruction, and to lead the family. But God also gave Adam the task to subduing the world and to exercise dominion over the world. He created Eve to help him with that. She was to do this with him. They were to do this together as companions and as friends. She was his helper. She was ideally suited to this role. She complemented Adam in this regard. She was not made to be Adam's slave, but to help him. Let's read Ephesians 5. Go to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. And you can find that on page 1245 of the Pew Bibles. 1245. And we read from verse 22. Galatians 5, verse 22. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Therefore, a man shall leave his mother and father and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to the church and the Christ. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Wives, are you suitable helpers for your husband? Do you encourage him in his work, in his social responsibilities, or do you discourage and nag him? Do you respect and honor him, or do you talk ill of him? Do you respect his position that the Lord has given him, or do you ridicule and pull him down? Do you give him the full support in his role as husband? Do you make it easier for him to love you and care for you? Do you take his own interest at heart? Do you provide for a stable family? Do you aim to be a God-fearing woman to your husband? Husbands, we don't get off the hook that easy, do we? Do we love our wives as ourselves? Do we listen to what she's got to say? Do we consider her advice and give it careful weight and consideration? Do we respect her and honor her as the daughter of God? Do we care for her in the same way as the Lord cares for the church? Do we provide for her needs? Do we think of them, protect them, as she is the apple of our eyes, just like the Lord does to the church? The same profound mystery that exists between Christ and the church exists between husband and wife. Let's test it. We love one another. We know each other quite well over the years. But my love for Yvonne is greater than my love for you. My love for my spouse should be greater than my love for my children. My love for my spouse should be greater than my love for the stranger, because we are one. We should reflect the glory of Christ. The Lord has after all said, "You shall become one." How contrasting is this to the worldly model today? The worldly model of partnerships. We jump from one relationship to another. When we get bored, it's time for change. There's no expectations of eternity or permanency in relationships today. No, there's no companionship, there's no friendship, because all these relationships are built on lust, not love. God's model is different. God's model says, be companions and friends, and love will follow. God's model says, have expectancy of permanency in your relationship. God's model for all of us is, become one over time. See, God's pattern for marriage is that we are companions to each other and we complement each other. In this way, we reflect the relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ with his church. In this way, we can build the kingdom of the Lord, encourage one another, build each other up in character, and so reflect the righteousness of Christ. Do we love one another? Do we love our spouses as we should? Do we see them as our lifelong companions? Or are they there for our convenience? Do we trample on them when they don't want to do what we want them to do? Do we treat them with no respect if we don't get our way? Or do we focus and put our attention on them? Do we truly care for them in the way that we should? Or is our own self-interest always at heart? Brothers and sisters in the Lord, we can only work this out if we are under grace. We can only work out our relationships with our husband and wives if we are found to be in the Lord. We can only work out our relationships in the Lord if the Spirit of the Lord helps us. How do we do that? Do we read the Bible together? Are we faithful in worship together? Do we pray together? How do we behave as mother and father? How do we behave as son or daughter? How do we behave as husband and wife? How do we live together as husband and wife? There are things we can do to stay in step with the Spirit. by loving each other first and foremost. It's not always easy to do that. All marriages and all relationships goes through a period of trouble. But the Lord is there to heal. The Lord is there to repair. The Lord is there to give encouragement. The Lord is there to give strength. Seek it, and you shall find it. Brothers and sisters, the Lord gave us marriage, which is an amazing institution for us to honor. He gave us the institution of marriage to keep sacred, to hold close to our hearts. For in the way that we deal with our spouses reflects or should reflect the love of Christ also for his church. May the Lord help all and each and every one of us this morning to see the truth and the beauty and the splendor of what God has created for us. Hear the word of the Lord. Amen. Let's come to the Lord in a time of prayer. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we have to admit that we can be so selfish, especially in the way, Lord, that we deal with our relationships. Yes, Lord, and especially in the way that we treat our spouses. For, Lord, it's so easy to fall into the trap of convenience. It's just something that we do, or he or she is just there. Lord, it's so easy because we don't, our own needs are not met, that to humiliate or belittle, or, Lord, to even think bad of our husbands or wives. Lord, as we all fall under the sin of the eyes, how easy it is to say, "Ooh, I would like to covet my neighbor's or husband or wife." Heavenly Father, as we are also so easily entrapped by the devil, to think of our husbands or wives as old or whatever the case may be, gracious Lord, let us see each other as a gift from you. Heavenly Father, let's turn the tables around and look for companionship and friendship. Yes, Lord, rather than what gives pleasure to the eye and to the body. Heavenly Father, we ask that although our culture that we live in is, Lord, is so corrupt in the way that they view relationships and marriage, we ask, Lord, that you will encourage all of us, young and old, to hold on to this creation order that you've given us. Yes, Lord, that we can look towards you for the strength to build our marriages. And Lord, in those areas where things may not be right, that we also bring that to you. Lord, that we will be praying, Bible reading, serving couples. Yes, Lord, that we will use our marriages that you've given us, Lord, to further your kingdom. Heavenly Father, but we are well aware that not everybody here today are married. And we also pray for them, Lord, yes, that you will give them the strength to stand firm. Yes, Lord, the contentment that they may know that you have not at this point in time ordained them to have a spouse. But Lord, encourage them and strengthen them. For indeed, as Paul said, it's better not to get married. Heavenly Father, for the sake of your kingdom, let us all take up whatever purpose you've given us. Lord, that we will take up whatever you've asked us to do and to do that. Lord, and if it's within the marriage relationship, that. And if it's being single, Lord, even that. And let's use our status to glorify and exalt and to seek your kingdom. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that your words were open to us. And we ask, Lord, that you will bless it to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.